preach from Zephaniah chapter 3. If you find it, stand to your feet if you would. We'll read the text here and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts from it. Look at verse 14 if you would. Verse number 14, Zephaniah 3:14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel. There it is, singing and shouting connected. So when people shout in a song service, it's scriptural. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. So he's saying, let loose, man. Singing, shouting, rejoicing, he said, with all your heart. I mean, just let it out. It's supposed to be just bubbling out, overflowing, can't hold it in. Why? Because the Lord hath taken away thy judgment. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Gabe Cross, would you ask God to bless the preaching, please?
Did all that for us, Lord, and even now you're pouring blessings on us. And we have an opportunity to come to this church, have a family in Christ, Lord, listen to the pastor, Lord, and get something from you and have you actually personally talk to each one and every one of us differently, Lord, through his preaching. Lord, I pray that you be with the pastor as he's preaching, Lord. Give him the words that you would have us hear, Lord. Lord, without you, it's really pointless, Lord. And I know you could do it, Lord, because again, like I said, you're a gracious God. Lord, I pray that you talk to every one of us, give us what we need, encourage us, be with the teachers downstairs as they teach you, Lord. Lord, we want to praise you more, Lord. I know we fail, but we do really want to praise you. Be with us. Be with the preaching. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to preach to you this morning from this passage on reasons to rejoice. But what I'm not going to do, with the help of God, is I'm not going to beat you up for being blessed Americans. I got to thinking about that this week. That's a common subject matter among preaching and among Christians, is to talk about how good we have it. And to recognize how unthankful we are. I mean, if you travel the world at all and you see how other people live, you come back and it's a good thing for you because it's like a reality check. It's like, my goodness, man, I have it so good and I don't even realize how good I have it sometimes. And I'm ashamed of myself for being so unthankful, for being so miserable about what? But what I was thinking about this week is, though, that's a little bit strange because we preach that happiness does not come from things, don't we? We preach that your joy doesn't come from cars and houses and bank accounts and pleasures of this world, and yet we turn around and are hard on ourselves because we're saying we should be more joyful and should be more thankful because look at how good we got it. And then on the other hand, we say, well, it's not the good things that brings joy and thankfulness in a happy life. So in all reality, I think sometimes we miss the mark for being thankful because we're focusing on the things that don't really bring thankfulness that we know we should still be thankful for because they're good things. Are you following me? Or did I confuse you to death? So I'm not going to beat up on you for that. Look, if you were born and raised here like me, certain things have become a part of who and what you are. And people from other countries that have it worse can look at you, and oftentimes they're very, very turned off by Americans, really, because we come across, whether we mean to or not, very arrogant and very belligerent, like we think it's all about us and like the whole world revolves around us. And honestly, I don't think every American really intends to come across that way. I think we have a culture just like other places have a culture. And so part of it, you know, hey, I'm miserable and I'm not happy and I'm not really very full of joy and my life is kind of difficult and I drug myself in here today and I know I shouldn't feel this way because I know how blessed I am and I know how good I have it, but you know, I'm still, look, the reality is you're still struggling. You're still a person. You still live in a sinful world. And although you drove a nice car here, or, you know, maybe not so nice, but you drove a car anyways. And although you have a nice place to sleep, you know, may not be the fanciest, and some of you may have a very nice place, but at least you had a roof over your head. Although all those things are true, we have more food than we really need, and that's all true. But that doesn't mean you still don't have problems and struggles. And I think focusing on the blessings sometimes causes us to miss the real issue and never really fix the problem. Because we're always looking at how good we have it and we're saying we should be more thankful, but yet we know that that stuff isn't really what makes us thankful anyhow. I think in this text we get some true reasons to rejoice. And I want to point those out to you, and I don't want to do it. My heart's desire this morning is truly to be an encouragement to you. I don't want to beat you up for being an unthankful brat. Amen? I have to say it that way. That's the way I'm wired. I know even when I'm trying to be a blessing, I'm still a jerk. I don't want to be that way. I want to encourage you this morning to be happy, to rejoice in Jesus Christ. What if happiness really is a choice?
I'm not happy.
What if it's because you're choosing not to be? I'm just throwing that out there. I know of horrible stories. I could give you some stories that just make you feel sick to your stomach of things people have been through. Of people where their whole family turned on them, isolate them, run them off. And you say, what did dad do to deserve that from his wife and his children? And the answer is nothing. Was he a drug addict? No, he wasn't. Was he a drunk? No, he wasn't. Was he beating his wife? No, he wasn't. Was he beating or abusing the children in any way? No, he wasn't. What did he do to deserve that? Nothing. The devil got in there and caused trouble and strife and little stuff build up over time. And before you know it, it's like run him out of our life. It's worse than killing somebody. To be alive and to be out there and having children and grandchildren and weddings and saying, you're not welcome. You're alone. And yet, one instance I'm thinking of, the man seems to be pretty happy. You'd think that would be one mean, angry, hateful, and bitter person, don't you? What if happiness really is a choice? What if happiness is something where you make up your mind you're not going to be that person? In answer to the question, where is happiness, a man named Clarence McCartney, he was one of the leaders of the fundamentalist movement. He was actually a Presbyterian, but he was one of the leaders of the big fundamentalist movement, said this when somebody asked him, where is happiness? He said, it's not found in pleasure. Lord Byron lived such a life, if anyone did. He wrote, the worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone. Happiness is not found in money. Jay Gould, the American millionaire, had plenty of that. And when dying, he said, I suppose I'm the most miserable man on the earth. It's not found in position and fame. Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of both. And he wrote, youth is a mistake. Manhood is a struggle, and old age a regret. It's not found in military glory. Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day, and they say that they found him in his tent weeping because he said, there are no more worlds to conquer. Where is happiness? Elvis Presley was asked this, and forgive me, I'm going to quote him directly. We're all adults and have TVs and the rest of that, so you can't be offended. 6 weeks before he died, a reporter asked Elvis Presley, Elvis, when you first started playing music, you said you wanted to be rich, famous, and happy. Are you happy? And he said, I am as lonely as hell. He got everything he dreamed of, everything he wished for, everything he worked for. And you know how that man's life ended up. Where is happiness? Are you happy this morning? Do you have a reason to be happy this morning? Can I tell you, if you got Jesus Christ, you got a reason to be happy. Yeah, don't you have moments of happiness in your life? Come on, there have been great moments, haven't there? I mean, where you're holding that cup of happiness and it's overflowing, amen? And then what happens? Somebody bumped your stinking elbow. That's how it is, man. Morning's going great. Coffee's sitting right there. Everything's fine, nice and peaceful. Reading my Bible, praying. The world is great. And all of a sudden, you hear that bedroom door. Like, oh, no. And they come running in, and you're grabbing for the coffee, amen? There goes my joy. Isn't that the truth, Christian? Come on, you have your ups and your downs. You and I, if you're born again, if you're not saved, you got a reason to be miserable. Hell is waiting for you.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you shouldn't say that. Oh, yeah, I should. Yes, I'm going to show you in a second why I should. And why, by the grace of God, I'm not going to stop between here and the grave or the rapture. Hell's waiting for you without Jesus Christ. If you're not born again, you've got a terrible future coming at you. And I love you enough to tell you whether you like it or not. I don't want to see you go there. And there's no need to go there. So if you're not saved, I hope you're miserable. That sounds mean, but I don't mean it mean. I hope you're miserable so you'll realize there's nothing in this life worth living for, and get a hold of who Jesus Christ is and be born again this morning, and then find a reason to truly rejoice and something to build your life on that's a foundation that's bigger and that's greater than anything this world can offer. That foundation is Jesus Christ. You've got to start out with Him. And if you got Him this morning, you got a reason to rejoice. He's a great thing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. That whole thing is all about Him. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How do you get there? The Lord is my shepherd. If you got Jesus Christ, you got everything, Christian. But you know what we do? We forget, after we've trusted Christ as our Savior, what we got. We start getting so busy about life that we forget to make Jesus Christ everything. We forget to nurture that relationship. We forget to spend time with Him. We forget to keep that thing warm and exciting. We forget to stay close to our shepherd. We forget to just lavish it on Him and love Him and focus on Him and learn about Him. We read our Bibles because we know we're supposed to, but we don't read our Bible looking for Him every day of our life and trying to get to know Him better and be more like Him. He no longer is our joy. And then we lose our rejoicing. We walk in here with all the blessings in the world, but no burning heart of love for Jesus Christ and no intimate closeness with Him. And we say, oh, I know I should be more thankful. I know I shouldn't say this. How you doing? Well, you know, preacher, it's not going that great. I know I should be thankful. And we don't get what's really missing. And I think what really is missing is the Lord. A close, real, genuine, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I hope this morning, by the time we're done here, and I'm going to try not to be long, I hope there's some restoration and refreshing for you. I hope that this simple message, this is not going to be a deep message, all right? I'm not going to give you a bunch of doctrine that you've never heard before. Simple message. And I hope that you stop and say, you know what, that's what I need to do. I need to put Jesus Christ first, and remember how wonderful He is. I need my personal relationship with Christ to get warmer again like it used to be. Look at this text. If you go back with me to verse number 1, I'll show you some things that really show you that this thing applies so much to the day and age in which we live. Look at the population of the people. Woe unto her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice, she received not correction, she trusted not in the Lord, she drew not near to her God. Now, does that sound like the United States of America or what? Doesn't that sound like where we're at? You live in a filthy nation. It's becoming normal for our children to see shemales on TV. And have little kids at 8 years old and 7 years old, they shouldn't even be asking, what's that? And you're trying to explain what a transgender is to your kid. They shouldn't even be seeing same-sex people walking through the store holding hands or kissing or hugging in public. They shouldn't even be seeing that stuff at certain ages. And they're seeing it. You say, do you hate them? I don't hate them at all. I want to see them born again. I'd not only lead them to Christ, but I'd try to disciple them if they'd trust Christ as their Savior. But I'm telling you, God calls that stuff filthiness. Well, I don't think you should say that. Well, that's why God didn't call you to preach. God says it's filthy. God's always hated it. God says it's an abomination, and it's wicked. You live in a wicked country, but the problem is, it's God's people. So God here is talking to Israel. They're God's people. The problem is, God's people have gotten to the point where God's people are filthy. They want to claim the name of Jesus and live however they want to live and thank God for eternal security. Well, you're asking too much. I mean, if you back off a little bit and just, you know, hey, I'm not asking nothing. We're just supposed to serve God. I'm just preaching the book. You do what you want. It's your life. This ain't a cult. I'm just telling you what God says. What was the problem? She didn't obey His voice. She didn't receive correction. Who are you to tell me what to do? Nobody. Do what you want. When somebody won't receive correction, that's a really bad thing. Amen, parents? A kid that will receive correction, you can work with them. The kid that won't receive correction, there's nothing you can do with them. They got to receive it. What'd she do? She didn't trust in the Lord. She probably trusted in her money, in her power, in her fame. She drew not near. See that? That's what I'm trying to talk to you about this morning. Drew not near to God. Look at the second thing. This is the politicians. That's the population of the people. You see the politicians in verse 3, her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. The politicians are just preying on the people. And that's exactly where you're at. That's exactly, well, we got Donald Trump now. He didn't die on a cross for me. Christians all happy about him signing something for religious, you know, to try to help the religious people and all that stuff. And everybody, you know, the liberals aren't even upset about it. Because the liberals said it's such a straw man, there's nothing to what he signed. He's just playing everybody. Ain't that scary? The politicians, well, we know all about them. That's just a sign of the times. Verse 4, look at this one. Her prophets, there's your preachers. What are they? Light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They've done violence to the law. I notice about three different things there. Number one, the preachers are light. You call them no-hellers. You know, make your next step with Jesus. Will you make the next step with Jesus? Let's take the next step with Jesus. Will you receive Him? Receive Him from what? Why? Why do I need Him? Because He loves you. Okay, great. Sure. Yeah, I'll take Him. What do you mean, saved? Yeah, I got saved. I took Jesus. I accepted Jesus. Yeah. What did you need to accept Him for? Well, I mean, you know, He died for me. Great. Why did He die for you? Because He loves us. What's proof of His love? Well, yeah, He's taking me to heaven. Why? Were you going to hell? Well, I don't know about that. I've always believed in the Lord. Well, I'm a pretty good person. Where's that come from? Light preachers with a light gospel. You know why you need Jesus Christ? Because there's none righteous, no, not one. That's you, that's me, that's my kid, that's my big brown-eyed little girl, or my blue-eyed, blonde-haired little girl, that's my wife, my grandma, my mama, that's my aunt, my uncle, my cousin, my best friend. Every single one of us is unrighteous. There's not one who is. There's none that doeth good. Oh, I'm a good person. No, you're not. Oh, how could you say that? I told you I was going to be nice this morning. See what happens? That's why I don't make promises. I tell you I'm going to try. That's why we need Jesus Christ, because He went about doing good. Jesus Christ never broke the law. Why do you need Jesus Christ? Because without Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. Do you understand that? You're on your way to a devil's hell for eternity, and that's what Jesus Christ died for. That's why He took your sin upon Himself. That's why He descended. Before He went up, He went down. He put your sin there. Eternity paid your sin debt and put Him in hell forever and rose again. Without Jesus Christ, you'll split hell wide open. That's what the preacher's supposed to preach. Nowadays, the people won't receive correction. Oh, who are you to tell me? How can you say that? Well, I'm nobody. Why'd you say that? I wouldn't have in a million years. He said it. So do what you want with me. Shoot me in the head, whatever you want. I don't care. But you're going to take it up with him when you see him. Because he said it, not me. No, light and treacherous preachers. People like their preachers, you know, controllable. Funny. Oh, he's so funny. Oh, he's such a great guy. They want them to be politicians. God didn't call a preacher to do that. That ain't a preacher that loves you. It's easier to do that. It's easier to be treacherous. That used car salesman, you know. Yeah, we'll get you taken care of. I'll bet you will. The real high interest rate and all everything else, you know. Treacherous. Her priests had polluted the sanctuary. They brought dirt into the church of God. Dancing girls up on, you say, what are you talking about? It's going on in churches now. Dancing girls on the platform.
Yep. Right.
Polluting the thing. It ain't here about some stinking skank. We're here about Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Here for the base things of the flesh. Amen. Amen. We're here for Jesus Christ. The same thing ain't supposed to be polluted. It's supposed to be polluted people looking to get more like Jesus. That's what it's supposed to be. I'm not saying you got to be perfect to come in here. I'm saying you ought to recognize your pollution and say, I came here to clean up. Doesn't come here to appeal to my flesh. I got that all week. I don't need that this morning. I need the Lord this morning. I need something pure this morning. Something that will wash my mind out. Yeah, brainwash me with the Word of God. Amen. Drive me crazy. Man, you're brainwashed. Yeah, at least I'm using clean water. They've done violence to the law. What's that? Well, they just rip it apart. Beat it up. Well, this is an unfortunate rendering. Well, this shouldn't be translated. Well, you know, men wrote the Bible, so some of it's good and some of it ain't. And I'll tell you what parts it is and ain't. Based on my sin preferences. They're doing violence to the law. What do you got? You got a mess. But there's a reason to rejoice this morning. Because verse 5 comes next. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will do no iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not. But the unjust knoweth no shame. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful I got a God who doesn't fail. I'm thankful I got a God who's just. And I'm thankful I've got a God who wants to be in the midst of us this morning. Look down at verse number 15, and we're going to burn through these next few verses as quick as we can. Verse number 15, the first thing that really jumps out at me is that God has taken away my judgments. Look at verse 15 and the first part there. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. I'm so thankful this morning, and I'm rejoicing this morning in the fact that God Almighty has taken away judgment against me. Because I know what I am this morning. I don't know about your testimony. I'm not in your head. I'm not in your heart. You could be sitting here faking it for all I know. But one thing I know for sure is if I'm Mike Reagan, if Michael Richard Reagan Jr., that's the full thing. That's pretty nasty, ain't it? If Michael Richard Reagan Jr. got exactly what he deserved, I would split hell wide open this morning. I'd be in the bottom of that thing with my back broke if it wasn't for Jesus Christ and the fact that he's taken away my judgments. And I'm happy this morning that I know if I drop dead of a heart attack preaching, I'm going straight to heaven because my judgment was passed on Jesus Christ and it's gone forever. And I'm thankful for that this morning. That's a reason to rejoice, man. Raises are nice and new cars are great and, you know, nice fancy houses are wonderful and all that stuff, but good night. I look at them, you know, you look at the floor plan and you look at the outside and you look at this and you look at that and you go, my goodness, I'm just thinking about 10 years from now when everything has to be redone. Even the best stuff. Man, that nice car, they drive nice off the lot. I'm telling you, that first day is the best day, man. You know what I'm thinking? I have a problem. I got, like, issues up here. My wife, she's happy. I mean, she's happy, happy, happy. She don't get over it. She still likes the one we got years ago. Oh, that's a nice car. I'm like, whatever. You know what I'm thinking the second I drive? I'm thinking, man, this thing just dropped in value. I owe more than this stupid thing is worth right now. That just starts aggravating me every day. I'm like, man, I'm such an idiot. I'm such an idiot. But if I'd have just saved up the cash and paid for it, it still drops in value. This is stupid. Give me a horse. The stuff of this world, folks, it's just we already know that. But we forget we got something eternal when we got saved. Our judgment is gone. I am not going to strut into heaven and look God in the eye and say, well, I'm here, Lord. Remember all I did for you? I got a feeling I'm going to belly crawl in there, just praising and glorifying His name. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy, but He's worthy. Thank God Jesus Christ did what I could not do. My faith is not in Mike Reagan. It ain't in this church. It ain't in anything I ever did or could do with my life. My faith is in Jesus Christ. And glory to God, my judgment's gone. And I'm glad of that, man. That gives me something to... I mean, that just makes you a little reckless. It can make you a little reckless because you know what? All I'm going to do is die. Then what? I go to heaven. Glory to God. I mean, jumping out of a plane sounds like fun as long as that parachute don't, you know, mess up. I don't mind hitting. I don't mind the hitting part. It's getting there. You know what I'm saying? That like panic attack trying to stop and you can't do it. And you, oh, look, he's flying. You know. What's the worst thing that can happen to you? Worst thing. Go to see God. Why? Because your judgment's taken away. I'm so thankful for that. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know what God said? You ain't condemned. You're going to live forevermore. For one thing, you believed on the name of Jesus Christ. I'm also thankful that that thing doesn't just apply spiritually to after death. It applies to the here and now. How does that work? It works like this. In 1 Corinthians 11:31, he says this, "For if we should judge ourselves, we would not be judged." When we are judged, we are chastened to the Lord, right? Chastened, that we be not condemned with the world. You don't have a condemnation where you're going to spend eternity in hell. So God chastens His children. Follow me? So, oh, well, since I'm saved and my judgment's taken away, God doesn't judge me, so let's go, you know, do whatever we want, live like the devil, go, you know, whore hopping and, you know, doping it up and just live like the devil, right? No. Why? Because He's going to chasten you, but He's not going to condemn you. You're not going to split hell wide open because He forgave you of that sin. When you asked Him, He saved you. Now you're His child. He's got you forever. But what does He do in this lifetime? He'll beat the fire out of you. A verse that got me real good years ago was God answereth man in the joy of his heart. A lot of Christians don't have any no rejoicing. Why? Because they're not living for the God who died for them. So what do I like about it? Why is that a reason to rejoice, preacher? Because it says, for if we should judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. I'm glad this morning I can sit in church or stand in church and I can think through that thing and the Holy Ghost can say, now Mike, you heard him. Mike, you heard me. Yeah, Lord, I did. And you know what I've been talking to you about? Yes, Lord, I know. Are you going to take care of it? Yes, God, I'm wrong and I'm sorry. What am I doing? I'm judging myself. And I can hit an altar or I can sit there in my pew and I can get that thing right with God. And what's He saying? Not be judged. That's a reason to rejoice, you guys. God made a way for a Christian to live outside of the chastisement and judgment of God. That's a blessing, and that's all about the cross of Calvary. That's all about what Jesus Christ did for us. It's all about the way that He made. He's not just the way to get saved originally. Christians, He's still the way today for you to stay right with God. That's a reason to rejoice. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. Look at another one. He hath cast out thine enemy. Boy, I'm thankful for that. Colossians 1:13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. You know what you were in before Jesus Christ? You lived in darkness. Darkness. Well, I get to thinking and talking to lost people all the time, and I listen to them. And it breaks my heart. What's life all about to them? Most of the decent people, it's all about being a good person. It's all about trying to do good. And trying to appease yourself and appease your conscience. And you know what it is for people that aren't necessarily as religious? It's trying to have fun. Trying to enjoy yourself. Enjoy your life. If it feels good, do it. Just enjoy. Just make all the money you can make. Work your way up. That's darkness, folks. You know why every person lays their head down at night and they know there's got to be more to it than this? Just recently had family pictures done and we're looking at the kids and it's like, what? What in the world? Where did the time go? It's bizarre how fast it's gone. And you know what's a sad thought to a daddy? It's to think, I'm not really raising them to keep them home. I'm not investing all this time and effort and energy, the good side of it and the bad side of it. The good side is spending time and having fun and being family, the good memories. The bad side is discipline and trying to figure out your way through all that and training and you know, and fighting all those battles that we have to fight. And I'm doing all this, and in no time flat, they're gone. And that's what I'm raising them for. I'm raising them to go find a good, godly man and get married and give me some grandkids. Amen. But I'm just saying, like, everything you live for, everything that's important to you now, it all seems to change. My point is life. Isn't life a crazy thing? Watching your parents get older. Isn't that a weird feeling? Everything I know, everything I have, everything I can control right now, it all changes and goes away and things change. And what's life all about? And for a lost person, there's nothing to life but life. So can you imagine looking in the mirror as the years go on and combing the hair and there's more and more grays? Go, man, my eyes never used to do that there. And you know what you're seeing in the mirror? You're seeing a coming appointment. It is appointed that a man wants to die. And could you imagine, Christian, living your life like that without knowing what comes next? They're living in darkness. I'm so glad I got a God who's delivered me from darkness and translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son. And now, folks, I see Him everywhere. I see Him in the sunset. I see Him in the sun rising. I see Him in the trees, in the grass. I see Him in the wind. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. I see Him in the stars, the work of His hands. I understand what the body, soul, and spirit is. And in science, when they put all this silly stuff out, always trying to disprove God, I can see where the Bible talked about it before they did, and where actually the Bible explains and fills in all the holes. And my life is different. And folks, it ain't because Mike Reagan's anything special. All Mike Reagan is a sinner saved by the grace of God, and that's a reason to rejoice this morning. If I got no other reason to rejoice, if my kids do nothing but break my heart and life is nothing but a pain and nothing seems to work out right or go my way and all my blessings that are material seem to disappear, you know what I still got? I still got the God of heaven that saved my soul, and that's a reason to rejoice. And I know what I'm living for, and I know what my life is all about, and it ain't about me. My wife and I were recently talking about this, and just drives us crazy. And we, of course, are both very level-headed and we get each other all calmed down and matured out. But we're talking about all these people that are, well, you know, just trying to work to improve the kingdom. The kingdom. We're bringing in the kingdom. Improving the kingdom. Just trying to do something for the kingdom. What kingdom are you working for? You realize the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is not here. The God of this world is Lucifer.
Well, just doing something for the kingdom, brother.
Look, listen, I appreciate the heart behind it. But scripturally, you are not living in the kingdom. That encourages me. Amen. I'm glad this ain't the kingdom. This is the church. We're trying to do something for the Lord, sure, absolutely. But that kingdom, it ain't here yet. I'm really glad there's a kingdom coming. Where every wrong will be made right. All that's faith will be made sight. End of shadows, only light. There's a kingdom coming, but it ain't here yet. I'm glad Jesus Christ has cast out that enemy. That's a personal thing between me and Him. Satan no longer has control over me. He no longer has my soul. Glory to God for that. I'm not living in that power of His darkness anymore. Yes, one day that kingdom's coming. I'm looking forward to that day. Glory to God, He cast out my enemy. What's my enemy? The devil's one of them. You know who else is one of them? Me. The flesh is your enemy. The flesh wants you to do wrong. But he's conquered the power of that flesh and given me an ability, if I listen to him and follow him and walk with him, to live in a joyful Christian life. Victory over that flesh. And that's what we ought to be working for. I'm thankful for that this morning. Look at, if you keep your finger here in Zephaniah, if you would, flip over with me to Revelation chapter 12. Easy enough to find, all the way back there at the end of your Bible. I want to show you something. I don't know about you, but I've lived my whole life, I've always had some enemies. Enemies are a part of my life. That's probably my rotten personality. Some of you are a lot sweeter than me, but I've always had a way of making enemies, even when I wasn't trying. That's nice when our enemies are gone. Here's where God's telling us about a time when the enemy is going to be gone. Revelation chapter 12, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Now, Milton's Paradise Lost tells you that happened at the fall. This is not talking about the fall. This is prophecy. This has not happened yet. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had the place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. This woman, just so you know, is Israel. This is talking about the tribulation period when the whole world's going to try to come after her and the devil's going to try to destroy her. Look at verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He's the god of this world, and he's deceiving everybody. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. In the tribulation period, a war goes on in heaven, and God literally kicks Lucifer out of outer space. He's already been kicked out of the third heaven where God dwells. And it says the devil appeared before the Lord. He comes up to the sea of glass that's at the bottom of God's feet and looks through that sea of glass and can communicate with God. So he comes before the Lord. He's standing right there at the bottom, at the top of outer space, at the bottom of the third heaven. And then God says, in this case, here in this text, he's going to knock him out of outer space and put him right down on the firmament of this earth. He's not going to have the power to go up anymore. So he takes all the power he has left and turns around and pours it on Israel when the whole world's going to come against Israel to try to destroy her. That's what this is talking about. You and I have already been raptured up and we're in heaven. When this battle occurs, we're watching from heaven. Watch this. And I heard a loud voice. I don't like it when the preacher gets loud. You're going to hate heaven. Saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil's come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. What you and I are going to do? We're going to let loose in heaven. When God goes, check this out, fellas. Watch this. You guys used to like to watch them MMA fights? That was nothing. This one's going to get out. They ain't a real man in heaven. They ain't going to be like, whoa, check this out, fellas. Come on, guys, look. Man, this is awesome. Woo-hoo, did you see that? And all of you ladies that don't like fighting, you're all of a sudden going to be all for it. He'd be like, oh, that was awesome. Woo, praise the Lord. I didn't know that was even possible. And God's going to drive him out, and we're all going to realize our enemy got destroyed at the cross of Calvary. God's been toying with him and playing with him and messing with him, and finally, he's gone forever. That's a reason to rejoice. Well, the devil's giving me a hard time. Don't worry, God's got him whooped. Praise the Lord for it, man. Praise the Lord for something else in verse 15. He's in the midst of thee. Oh man, I'm thankful that God lives in the midst of us. I'm thankful that we serve a God that shows up in church. I hope you pray before you come. We were praying downstairs that God show up this morning. Nothing sounds worse to me than getting together and not having God here. Nothing sounds worse to me than walking into church or taking my kids to church and having them think church is about nothing more than being bored and singing songs without a, you know, without a drum and without a rock guitar and going home. I hate for my kids to think church is all about who's doing what and what's going on and gossip and this, that, and the other thing and who's upset about what and what committee's what. Forget all that junk. No wonder Christians can't rejoice. They don't have their eyes and mind on the right thing and God ain't showing up in the middle of them. But when God shows up in the middle of them, God's people are happy. They come early. They stay late. They shout. They praise. They get excited. They get recharged and energized. They want to be in church. There's something there they don't have out there in the world. And what is it? It's God among them. But it goes even deeper than that. For 2 Corinthians 6:16, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. You know what I got inside of me? Jesus Christ. Do you want to know why Christians are so obsessed with Israel? Because they got a Jew living in them. That's why once they get saved, they get cheap, amen? I'm just kidding. Think about that for a minute. Ain't it great to have the Lord in you? If you're a Jew, I love you and I'm sorry. I rip on Italians and nobody ever offends me picking on Italians, amen? Yeah, ain't it great to have God living in you? What a privilege. What a blessing. Because I don't always feel like it. Sometimes I just don't feel like it, to be honest with you. Sometimes I get up to read my Bible and I'd rather stay in bed and sleep. Sometimes I kneel down to pray and I just don't feel like praying. I'm listening for the coffee pot to finish, amen. That's what you, God, sorry. Just trying to stay awake so I can talk to you more. I don't always feel like it. But there's a God that lives in my heart. And he helps me when I just don't feel like it anymore. Hey, he gives me little warning signs when I'm a fool walking into trouble. Something inside me says, stop, Mike. And I don't even know what it is, but it's God speaking to my heart. I'm glad that he dwells in me. He's in the midst of my soul. I'm thankful for that. Man, it's a great thing to have God dwelling in you. He said he'd seal you into the day of redemption. And he did. It's like you got your mama and your daddy's DNA in you. When you become a child of God, you get his DNA in you. And I'm thankful for that because that's kept me out of trouble. Because I am prone to trouble. And I'm thankful for him. John 17:20, neither pray I for these alone, Jesus speaking, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You realize how big it is to have Jesus Christ living in your heart? He said, I will never leave thee, Hebrews 13:5, nor forsake thee. How many of you have left God? You're being honest. Thank you for your honesty. I usually say don't raise your hand, and then you all were raising your hand already. You're honest people. Because, yeah, guess what? I've turned my back on him. I've gotten discouraged. I've gotten unthankful with all the reasons in the world to be thankful. If it was up to me to keep my salvation, I'd be burning right now in the lake of fire. Yep. In hell, excuse me. Right now. I sure am glad he dwells in me. That's a reason to rejoice. If you got nothing else to be happy about, if everything in the world's depressing and discouraging and difficult and tough this morning, turn to the one that lives in your heart. I don't have anybody to talk to. Talk to him. You know what people do? Well, my spouse, we used to talk. They used to be there for me, so you'll find somebody else. What's the matter with you? That all may be true, and it may be difficult, but you got a God that lives inside of you that'll hear you. And he'll take care of things that sin won't take care of. He'll give you joy and rejoicing that sin won't give you. It gives you pain. It gives you heartbreak. It gives you sorrow. It gives you a guilty conscience. It gives you that dirty feeling, that polluted feeling that we saw back in verse number 1 and 2. You don't need all that. You need to turn to the God that's in you and rejoice in the fact you've got a God that'll hear you and that'll help you and that won't leave you and that loves you and will take care of you. What a great reason that is to rejoice this morning. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for the sealing of the Spirit. Thank God for His faithfulness. Thank God for His love. He's great and a reason to get excited this morning and to be happy and thankful and to have some true joy and rejoicing in your heart. Which brings me to my last thing. Look at verse 16. And that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not. And to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. We have a reason to rejoice because there's nothing to fear in verse 16. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How many of you have fears? Fears are a bad thing. They can overwhelm you. It's worry, stress. Where's all that coming from? What are you stressed for? What is stress? You ever think about that? Stress is anxiety. Where's anxiety coming from? I would say it'd be a fair argument to look at that thing. I'm no psychologist, but it could be rooted in some kind of fear or frustration. You know what? You got a God who says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know where we don't turn when we're stressed? We don't turn to the one who says, I'm with thee. I'll help thee. You know what God is? Read David, man. I just got hooked on David this week. I mean, not even reading through Psalms in my Bible, and I just felt the Holy Spirit to get over to Psalms. I just got over there and started reading. Turn it on while I'm out and about, and you know, riding. I rode Kensington earlier this week and put on the YouTube Psalms and just let that thing, just 4 hours of Psalms, just read. I didn't ride for 4 hours. But 4 hours of Psalms on there and just listen to like 30 chapters of Psalms while I'm riding first thing in the morning, man. The dew's out. Nobody's out there but me and Psalm going in my ear. You know what he's saying? The Lord my strength. The Lord my buckler. The Lord my God. The Lord my strength. The Lord my strength. I can do all things through which? Me. New Bible's changed that to who strengthens me. I can do all things. What's the thing talking about? It's showing you how to get the strength. What you do through Christ, which strengthens. See, we forget about Christ when we're weak. And if we'd start doing what we do through Him, when I'm weak, then am I. Your weakness is where God wants you. I'm trying. That's good. I mean, that's great and everything, but I'm not getting it done. I just feel like okay. Did you ever stop to consider that maybe you're there because God's trying to show you that you got to draw closer to Him? How do I do it through Christ? What are you talking about? It's very simple. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh. It's a decision in your mind and in your heart you make to nurture and develop and work on that personal relationship, the personal devotional life between you and Jesus Christ. Draw nigh. You know why God's people are so weak, so joyless so much of the time? Nehemiah 8 explains it. Nehemiah, which is the Tirzathite, and Ezra the scribe, the priest, and the scribe, and the Levites, which taught the people, said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They knew how bad off they were. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them, for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry. Here it is. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know why the devil in the flesh tries to get your mind and heart and eyes and thoughts on everything that's wrong? And problems and troubles and trials and failures, your own mess ups. Well, it's my fault. You know, no, woe is me. There's no help for me because I really messed up. Okay, well, what are you looking at that for? What's the devil doing? He wants to rub that in your face. Why? Because that'll just sap you of your joy. But if we can get our eyes off of all that and turn to God and get our eyes on Jesus Christ and begin developing a real prayer life, a real scripture reading, I'm talking devotionally, looking for Him, walking with Him, thinking about Him, talking to Him, making Him very real and alive and active part of our thought process through the day. I don't know what to tell you. Maybe you need to set an alarm on your phone the first thing when you wake up with a title that says Jesus, just to force your mind to think about Him before you get out of bed. I don't know what to tell you. But folks, we got to have Him first on our mind and last on our mind and constant on our mind, developing and nurturing that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because He is the only true reason to genuinely rejoice. There is no harm in saying, look at my new car, and being happy about that. Take it. Amen. All the good things God does, take them and enjoy them. But that's not what life is about. Let me leave you with this thought. Because, like I already mentioned to you, you're all honest. We always feel like it's our lack of spirituality that's the problem. Amen? I should be more. I wish I was more spiritual. Check out verse 17. He will rest in your love. That's not what it says, is it? What does the Lord rest in? Ain't that bizarre? He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. He loves you. And He loves you so much, His love for you is enough. And He rejoices over you like a daddy rejoices over his kid. That's my baby. Yep, that's my kid. Look at my kid. Now that's a reason for you and I to rejoice. Because our love for Him ain't what it should be, is it? Come on. You love the Lord like you should. Not one person in this room, and I'm in here, loves God like they should. But He loves you like He should. And that's a reason to rejoice. Let's stand to our feet with